FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is the second to last day of August 2017, August 30th. Hey, as always, questions, comments, email me at kl@kerrylutz.com. I'm only about 50 or 75 behind right at this particular moment. A few days worth of work. I will get to them, I promise. But people who aren't being gotten to now, those poor people in Houston, they've got a couple of dams ready to give way. There's only so much man can do. You know, nature and the universe control us. It's not the other way around. But here's somebody who is a force of nature. I'm talking about the proprietor of peakprosperity.com, Chris Martinson. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry, good to be back with you and all your listeners today.
Yeah, so we got like a mess going on here, and we want to talk about what's happening in Houston and how this shows certain failures in our financial system, the inability to plan, the inability to see what is obvious, right, that it's there to be seen, but we have blinders on us, and also give an update what's going on in New Orleans, because that's a fascinating story in and of itself. So we're looking at Houston, and the first thing that ran through my head is, hey, if we got 50 inches of rain here in Florida, I think my house might flood. I better go get some flood insurance.
Well, you better hurry, because I don't think flood insurance is going to be available all that much longer. And it's just the National Flood Insurance Program, the NFIP, is just a disaster of government ineptitude, where about 30% of all of its payouts go to people who rebuild in the same place they just got ruined in. We should not be subsidizing people rebuilding in places where houses are prone to flooding and getting ruined. If you want to build there, that's fine. Just but you're on your own, right? And if you can find somebody to give you more mortgage insurance on that, good luck. But nobody would, right? And so there are parts of Texas where there was a levee breach. It was in this one area. All these alerts went out. It was on the lower Brazos River. And what they had done was they'd built basically in swampland, but put a nice big levee around this entire community. And that got breached. And they had to issue an emergency evacuation order. Next thing you know, there's like 9 feet of water in this one community. No private mortgage insurer would have ever given insurance on that. No private flood insurer would have ever given insurance, but they could get mortgage insurance because insurance was available through the government, which said, sure, build in a low-lying spot where if anything goes wrong, it's a complete disaster. We got you.
Yeah, right. Isn't that great? And it's exactly what's happened is the government has basically subsidized bad behavior, right?
Again.
Yeah, still, like always. And, you know, mortgage flood insurance is basically a giveaway to the banks, because the banks will not issue a mortgage in these flood areas without this flood insurance. They just won't do it. So basically, you just can't allow this bad behavior, encouraging people to build in places where they shouldn't as a result of this flood insurance. But understand that there's places that got flooded that would have never been flooded under a normal storm. It's mainly by the coastline where it's really bad.
Well, let's be really clear. This was not a normal storm. This was a very unusual event. To have a major hurricane, a Cat 4, come, land on shore, wobble around, head back out to sea, gather more stuff, jump 50 inches of rain. I don't care how well you've designed your city and your flood systems, you're going to have trouble with that. And by the way, Houston doesn't have all that great flood control, because it's a pancake. I mean, it's just literally there's nowhere for the water to really go. So this was a very historic storm in a lot of ways, and even the best of systems couldn't have handled it. But Houston had substandard systems. They had a lot of them that were geared for 25-year, 50, and sometimes just 100-year flood storms. They've had, by the way, three so-called 500-year events in the last 5 years. So they've really been getting hit, and they hadn't even finished fully repairing from the prior ones. And this time, so much damage got done this time. It's going to be probably a month before we really fully figure this out. But those initial estimates of $30 billion of damage, $45 billion, all off potentially by an order of magnitude, I think, in this particular case. Huge amounts of damage have been done. Nobody really knows how much yet.
Hey, and Look, I mean, there's four or five times more people in Houston than in New Orleans. All right. That was $40 or $50 billion superstorm Hurricane Katrina. And they're talking about vehicles, automobiles alone of 500,000 or 600,000, I think, were damaged in New Orleans during Katrina. This is probably going to be four or five times more than that. One thing that you have to understand, without that flood insurance, basically you are up the creek. You're self-insured, and a lot of people don't have it in Houston because they weren't in that bad floodplain, and or they don't have mortgages. So effectively, they're self-insured, and they're going to be taking a massive hit because they got no insurance, and they're going to have to pay out of pocket or sell. So it's going to have devastating impacts upon the local real estate market in Houston.
Really, it's bad. Just ruined. It's just ruined at this point. And only one in six Houstonians has flood insurance. Right. I don't even know what the estimate is, but in whole communities, whole suburbs, 100% of the homes receive damage. So we're going to have to wait and see how this all shakes out. But absolutely, without question, there are people who are riding blind. They are now on the hook for whatever losses have come through. Yeah, there'll be so-called FEMA loans and all this and that, but it doesn't really help you if you're underwater on your mortgage. Ooh, bad term. Sorry. Uh-huh. If you still owe on your mortgage and, you know, now suddenly you have to take out an equivalent sized loan from FEMA just to get your home back to living standards. A lot of people are just going to walk away. We're going to see jingle mail from this. A lot of people walked away from New Orleans, never to come back. Just where did they go? We don't know. But Houston is a major city. Actually, millions and millions of people live there. It's
actually, I'll tell you where a lot of them went. A lot of the people from Katrina, they went to Baton Rouge, and they went to Houston, if you remember. Like 100,000 people from New Orleans went over to Houston because it was the closest big city. And
that's
it,
right?
Ruined the city. I mean, the crime rate went insane, and it was the worst thing that happened. So now those people that moved there from New Orleans, they're getting hit twice, and they'll be looking for another place. Where do you think they're going to go next?
I don't know. This is hopefully someplace without, you know, flooding or hurricanes. I mean, many of these people might decide they can't do this anymore, because let's be clear, when these storms have been hitting now, they do a lot more damage than they used to for whatever sets of reasons. And, you know, Sandy wasn't a particularly big storm in terms of wind. It's not the wind. That's a lot of people think, ooh, Cat 4, it's the wind. The wind does some damage, but it's nothing compared to the water. These storms are coming in hot and heavy. The Gulf is approximately 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than it used to be a few decades ago. That creates just that's a heat engine. And that creates a lot of moisture. So this is, you know, it's not surprising that we have a lot of moisture in these storms. Harvey just did a really weird thing by hanging out and dumping all of it again in a once in a lifetime or several lifetime sort of event. We hope we don't see these things more often. But Houston, you know, now is on page 6 of my local paper. I'm already seeing it drop off of the news cycle. America's mainstream media, plus it's, you know, the various peoples of the country seem to have, we're all done with that. It, you know, the sun came out in Houston. Now we're talking about rebuilding. But the truth is, at this point, while we're recording this here on the 30th, I'm looking at a chart that's showing me the dam height level, the water levels behind the dam at the Attix Reservoir, and also the Barker Reservoir, which are two fairly conjoined reservoirs right there on the west side of Houston. And right now, Attix is way over its design parameters. It's at, it's starting to hit flood stage at about 100 feet of elevation. It hit 102 feet, started to overtop its spillways. It's at 108 feet right now. And it's still, as of right now, expected not to peak until it gets to 110.4 feet. Officials are saying, don't worry, the spillway is safe. The emergency spillway, which is a big concrete apron that the water flows over. But as of right now, more water is coming into than leaving that particular reservoir, obviously, which is why it's rising. So we got to watch this one carefully. If that one lets go, that one pours down the Brazos, it ends up going down into Houston and then downstream from there. And there's all kinds of refineries and a new plant downstream from there that people ought to be concerned about.
Yeah. Well, and what can they do? There's nothing that can be done about this, is there?
Well, no, just watch it. I'm a little bit surprised that it isn't being talked about more on the national scale. I'm a little bit surprised that we're not seeing more being talked about this. I'm very surprised to watch, yesterday the markets, S&P opened down 15 points and the first 2 1-minute candles in the futures pits were just bright green rockets to the upside. You know, so we know that the whoever this team is that's out there making sure that at least stocks are sending the appropriate signals of calm and all of that to the nation. Just so annoying at this point, Kerry, because think about just optically. It's like, hey, Houston, we know you're drowning down there. If you were your own economy, you'd be the 10th largest in the world. We know that you're actually shut down, so your economy is basically zero. Mm-hmm. But tell you what we're going to do up here in New York, because we like to make ourselves feel better up here. We're going to jam stocks higher. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be over here cheering on higher stock prices while you suffer down there. But it's for the good of the nation. Pay no attention to the fact that me, my friends, and my colleagues all get rich while we jam stocks higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to see here. Right?
Nothing to see here.
But yeah, there is news coming in, but you have to look for it about these dams. And by virtue of the fact that they have to release the water, it's adding to more flooding in the areas anyway. So what is it going to be another week before we see all this water recede? What's going to be?
Yes, except that because it's going over the spillway, the emergency spillway, that water isn't going down a defined channel with levees on the side. That's just going to places where it finds the lowest, lowest areas to settle in. The earliest that's going to be expected to go away would be, for some of those communities, is the end of September.
Wow. So, but the danger point, when are we going to know whether these things are going to hold or not? How long is that going to take?
I would say if it gets to the 110 feet stage and then starts to decline and it's held, it's probably okay. But the next 2 days are going to be pretty critical here.
Yeah. Well, the one thing you have to realize, when they built all this stuff, they over-engineered because they didn't have computers. You see over-engineering like places like the Brooklyn Bridge, all of these bridges that connect New York that were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the New York City subway system, the New York City water system, things that by all rights should have given out a long time ago for lack of maintenance, deferred maintenance, they've actually managed to keep going. And that's purely a result of luck, the inability of our forefathers here to actually calculate how thick something needed to be to last 50 years. I mean, you see what happened in New York when infrastructure got built in the early 50s during the steel shortage brought on by the Korean War. We got the Tappan Zee Bridge, which lasted 60 some odd years, but literally was ready to fall down in New York to the point where they had to build a new bridge, had to actually put all indecisiveness aside and build a new one. Thank goodness these things weren't built in that time period, or we would really be having problems.
That's probably a great point. So this particular dam set we're talking about was put in just post-World War II. They did over-engineer like crazy. I heard about an Air Force runway that's now being used somewhere in the Midwest, which had somewhere around 6 feet of concrete poured as for the runway. I mean, that thing's just a forever kind of a runway at this point in time. So they really did over-engineer at a point because they were willing to afford a wider safety margin, and B, they understood the likelihood of things. They didn't have good sense of what the edges of the tails were in these events. So they really overdid it. Today, we think we understand what a 100-year flood is, what a 500-year flood is, but these storms, Kerry, are making a mockery of our statistics at this point in time. You know, the odds of having 3 500-year flood events in a single city like Houston in a 5-year window is astronomical.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, you just don't know. Nature, like Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, and it's rhyming here. So you don't know exactly what's going to happen because it never exactly repeats itself, just like no two earthquakes are the same, right? No two volcanoes are the same, but you get a general sense. No two hurricanes are the same either, for that matter, but you get a general sense of what can happen. After watching Katrina and Hurricane Sandy. Now, Hurricane Sandy was the first $100 billion storm in the U.S. And just to point back to Hurricane Katrina and how little we really learn from this stuff, basically, New Orleans is a city that's built below sea level, and it requires a whole massive pumping system. I think there's close to 120 pumps that pump the water out of the city. And that system's not been properly maintained. It failed during Katrina. They said, oh, no, we got it fixed. A few weeks ago, they had a major rainstorm and the pumps failed. The electric going to the pumps, the generating, these pumps are antiquated and they're working on 25 cycles of AC, Chris, instead of 60 or 120, whatever the normal power line is. And they failed. And they had this massive thing of getting it back on, getting it back together. And it was just really fortunate that that this hurricane didn't hit further east in New Orleans, or we would have had another Katrina.
Well, it's let's say we're not done with this. We're not done with Harvey. It's tracking right now over southeastern Texas and southwestern Louisiana, and it's going to be dumping a bunch of rain in the region. There are a number of large refineries right in its current path. We've had a number of refineries shut down, so we've seen gasoline stock prices, gasoline stocks fall, and also the prices for them go up. It's not unthinkable at this point. It's remote maybe, but not unthinkable that if the Colonial Pipeline shuts down because these refineries can't keep it stocked with feedstock, that we might see shortages, if not rationing, show up on the East Coast. So it's still evolving. We don't know what's happening there, but I do think that, you know, what happened in New Orleans was fairly indicative of really poor planning. They just can't get their stuff together. But let me one thing I think we make a mistake of a lot in this country is to sort of do this false equivalence deal, which is to say, well, yeah, you know, Katrina hit New Orleans pretty hard, but the country kept going, and so that shows that, Houston's going to keep going. It's false equivalence. Let's be really clear. In business terms, New Orleans is a national cost center and Houston is our production facility. You know, New Orleans makes nothing of value, really, to be honest about it. Houston is the world's 10th largest economy if it was its own. So you can't equivalent. They're not equivalent. And they're going to be just tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars of knock-on economic damage for shutting down a place like Houston for a week or a month, depending on what kind of industry we're talking about.
You know, it's like 9/11. 9/11, the stock markets were shut down for, I think, 8 or 10 days. And there was over $1 trillion lost from that one event. We can easily see that be equaled or surpassed because they actually make stuff, like you said, in Houston. New Orleans is a place where people go to party and wake up 3 days later or become conscious 3 days later and then go home. Very similar to Vegas. So there is no comparison between the two cities. And Houston's the fourth largest city in the country, fifth largest metropolitan area. New Orleans is very insignificant population-wise and really not much being produced there. There's some shipyards there. There's the loop, so they are the one terminal that can pump out liquefied natural gas and receive it. But outside of that, not a whole heck of a lot vital to the economy. Houston's a whole nother ball game. So I guess we're going to find out soon here, Chris, the extent of it, if they bother to tell us. But then again, you know, pretty soon it won't be in the headlines anymore, and we'll be on to the next thing, right?
Absolutely. Just print up a little money, jam stocks higher, tell everybody everything's okay, and move on. That's been our model for a while, and that's how national propaganda works, is keep people distracted and deflected, and maybe there'll be some more bad behavior by Antifa or some far-right people, again, meaningless to your lives, unless you want to wade into the middle of that deplorable crowd. But otherwise, you know, there are things happening right now that have enormous impacts, not least of which is the degree to which the monetary masters are continuing to fiddle with the price of everything. And that's just going to have enormous impacts on people. And it'll remain to be seen. You know what's going to happen? There will come a point where we're going to run into a disaster that we just can't afford to rebuild from. And then we discover that the whole prospect and project of national growth and advancement was really predicated on having the appropriate resources, human, natural resources, especially energy and financial. You take any one of those three things out and you're going to find you have a devil of a time getting back even to even in this story, let alone, you know, moving ahead. And so that's really where we're at. You know, it's just a crumbling situation, which is going to require real clear thinking. And what I love about the idea of that those pumping stations in New Orleans, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, very funny, but somebody spent a few hundred bucks to print up a little a sign, an official looking sign that they put on the outside of one of the failed stations that said, "I think I can," you know, like the little tank engine, right? But that's the state we can't even appropriately respond to and manage something as simple as a pumping station. Yeah. Trust me, when we try and figure out the integrated disaster that is having pipelines, electrical substations, and refineries, and all of the feed facilities upstream and downstream sort of be impacted severally and at once, we're going to discover that is a very serious predicament to try and climb out from under. It's not to be overlooked.
Chris, when they do archaeological digs, how many of these cities that you see around the world, basically there is an earthquake, a volcano, a flood, so many different natural calamities occurred, destroying the city. I'm sure there were survivors, but they weren't in a position they could rebuild. And to think that somehow we've figured out the solution for this is absurd, because it just some things can't be solved. We've just been fortunate that we've just been able to print our way out of these things, like Hurricane Sandy, like Katrina. This one, I think we'll be able to print our way out. Maybe, maybe not. I think, when you got that many millions of people, Chris, where are they going to go? They almost have to rebuild. Are they going to go to China? I mean, they have lots of vacant housing in China, right? We just don't have the surplus housing stock for 2 million people to leave a metropolitan area. So they're going to be, I saw it yesterday, the former Federal Reserve chairman said, "Don't worry about it. Dallas and Houston have the largest Federal Reserve cash vaults of any of our banks in the country." So the implication, I guess, we're literally going to have helicopter money for all.
Well, that's great. If you have the appropriate labor force there to deal with this stuff. So let's just take this by the numbers. Let's imagine right now all the water recedes, just magically all goes away. All of a sudden, what you have is basically a ticking time bomb in terms of mold and other damage that can happen. So what needs to happen to a house as soon as the floodwaters recede? Let's imagine it only went up 3 feet, in your first floor. Mm-hmm. It goes away. You need to get in there ASAP. You got to rip out all the carpets. You got to get those up and out. Before they do more damage holding the water and molding. You gotta get your sheetrock knife out and cut the sheetrock off it.
Yeah, all that.
You got to get that out of the house as fast as possible. Think about the labor involved in that. Now, any electrical stuff that got flooded, that all has to be replaced, of course. And then you've got to do all the rebuilding, anything that needs to be replaced. There probably isn't enough qualified people in the national, let's call it rebuilding pool right now, to even go there. If you could even encourage somebody from Maine who's got a hammer and some skill sets to wander down there, where would they live? How much are you going to pay them? Who's paying them? It's a really big logistical issue right now. And because, again, let's be clear about this, the number of houses impacted by this is an order of magnitude more than got hit in New Orleans, just because New Orleans is a smaller place.
Yeah.
That's all.
And more densely populated, not as spread out. Houston is a spread out metropolis, a modern, so-called modern city that is fully dependent upon the automobile to get from point A to point B. And it's sprawled. It's the definition of urban sprawl. And now, let's not forget, water systems are down. We've got a couple million people potentially homeless. I don't know what the total is, but it's got to be substantial. And we've got a really hot, sticky, muggy climate with lots of mosquitoes, ripe for outbreaks. But hey, I don't mean to alarm. Let's see if they're able to pick themselves up and put this behind them. But it's certainly a monumental Herculean task ahead. We're just going to have to see what happens. Anyways, find Chris's work over at peakprosperity.com. Peakprosperity.com. We'll have a link to it in the show notes for this interview. On financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Feel free to send us emails at kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed, which has been pretty active recently, is @CarrieLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Chris, always great talking to you, getting your perspective on things. Let's see how this shakes out, and we'll talk about it in a few weeks.
Thank you. We'll talk to you then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.